Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke 2, verses 7 through 20, The Shepherds, Our Gospel Mentors. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke of how the shepherds are models of hearing and believing the gospel of Christ. Now he will speak of how they are models to us of obeying the gospel, finding the gospel, and proclaiming the gospel to others. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe and to tell others the words of eternal life.
But then you notice, the shepherds not only go, but they obey. They obey. You see, the word is not only intended for our ears so that we may listen and go home and say that was nice, but the word of God is intended to set us in motion. It gives us directions. The word doesn't only tell us about the gospel, about Jesus, about the way of salvation, but also tells us how to be saved, how we may get to Christ. How did these shepherds get to Christ? Well, they went immediately. Exactly what road they took, we don't know. That's irrelevant, you see. They said, let us go even now unto Bethlehem. They wanted to go to Bethlehem because there you shall find, not maybe, or hope that someday I might find, but you shall find the babe lying in a manger. You see, finding presupposes seeking, looking, searching. The angel thought, if I bring this wonderful, wonderful message, these men will look for the born Savior. It was unthinkable to the angel that the shepherds would neglect to act upon such a glorious message. Someone once said to me recently, what's the greatest burden for you in the ministry to minister to people? And I said, the greatest burden is that people really don't take seriously the word of God. Don't really believe the message. Don't act upon it. Don't see the urgency that they're hell bound. And they need to be born again. And they need the Savior. And they need to repent. And they need to believe the gospel. They need to obey the word of God. Need to take to heart the message, and that needs to set our hearts in motion so that we repent and we forsake sin and we go to God and we go to Bethlehem to see the thing that has come to pass, the word that is being fulfilled. Listening for the shepherds means going. It means seeing. It means proving. It means ascertaining. It means assurance. It's not enough for them to know that the Savior had been born. They could have said, oh, that's wonderful, the Savior's born. The message about the Savior being born is brought to us in an amazing way. Wasn't it amazing, they could have said to one another? Wasn't the singing beautiful? Weren't the angels beautiful? They could have talked about that for a while and left it there. Wasn't it a wonderful experience that we had in the fields of Bethlehem Ephratah? Whoever else experienced the angels announcing the birth of a baby? Maybe you've heard sermons that have touched you, sermons that have been beautiful to you. And you were under some impression. Maybe you were convicted by them. Maybe they made you feel terrible because you're a sinner. But you see, if sermons don't bring us to Jesus, to the embracing of Him, those sermons actually will add to your condemnation in hell one day if you don't repent and believe the gospel. All our experience is worth nothing if it doesn't bring us to Jesus. It's all about Him, you see, not about you. And these men weren't content with a wonderful experience. They weren't content with the beautiful singing of the angels. They had to go. They had to obey. See, when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, well, there's just no way we can stay away from Jesus. There's no way we can be content with the fact that we're under deep conviction of sin, even. That's not our salvation. Deep conviction of sin empties us of ourselves, and it drives us to the end of the law, because we see we're just sinners in every way, to Christ for righteousness. I still remember when I was 15 years old, I was under very deep conviction. And someone was trying to comfort me that the Lord was working in my soul. And I just said to him, no. Not one sin can be removed from me until I find the Lord Jesus Christ. All your conviction won't get rid of one sin. Now, the amazing thing, of course, is that shepherds only heard one sermon. One Christmas sermon. But it was enough for them to go to Bethlehem. What mentors they are for us, not only with their faith, but also with their obedience. And they just went. They make all kinds of plans. They didn't map out the road. They didn't have a GPS to find the way. Exactly how they got there, we don't know. The wise men we know followed the star that guided them to Bethlehem. But you see, that's not the point. When a sinner can't live anymore without Jesus, he simply falls before Jesus. He cries out for mercy. Christ is a magnet that draws sinners to himself. And you obey. And how you obey, you can't always figure it all out. You just obey. You cannot not obey. Because you're a sinner and you need the Savior. Now, exactly when these men began to seek, were they actually seeking, began to seek before they got there? That's not the point, you see. The point is now they heard the gospel. Now they go. And now they find. They find the babe. They find Joseph, Mary, and the babe. And that's exactly what happens spiritually to sinners still today. But we can't live without Jesus. We find Jesus. We cry, when we cry out, give us Jesus, else we die. God will unite us with him in a wonderful way. We will find him. We will find him. And again, the Bible is amazingly simple. It underestimates it, doesn't it? The magnitude of what's happening. And they found. It just says they found. No adjectives added. They just found Mary and Joseph and the babe, as the angel had said, wrapped in swaddling clothes. What a find! What an amazing find! They find the Savior. They find the Christ. They find the Lord of glory, the King of kings. They find the Prince of glory, a baby in the manger. They find the Son of God as the Son of Man. They find the Creator born out of the creature. They find him who made the world and is above the world, coming into the world. They find the Almighty as a little child. They find the Eternal, a child of time. Amazing grace. They find the invisible God made visible. They find in him the Amen of the promises of God, yet born in such a lowly place. They see in him the faithfulness of God. They behold the love of God manifested in the gift of his Son. They experience in this sacred moment something of John's testimony. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh, they taste, they see, they embrace something of the glory and wonder of salvation in a lowly yet perfect Savior. What a find. You know, sometimes you read of these stories where somebody finds an old famous painting, for example, in some attic of a very famous painter, and it's worth millions and millions of dollars. And people say, what a find. This is astonishing. Recently, a few weeks ago, someone paid, what was it, $44 million for a painting. What a find. But you see, this is something worth far, far, infinitely more than any possession on this earth. And it comes free, free to the shepherds. What a find. They found Mary. Well, that's great. They found Joseph. Well, that's interesting. And they found the babe lying in a manger. That's everything. The king babe, the prophet, priest, king babe. The babe born without worldly glory and splendor so that he could be our substitute. The babe whose kingdom is not of this world. They found him. They found him who was rich, who became poor, that we poor sinners may be made rich in him. What a sight. What a sight to stand there, poor, lowly, despised shepherds, excommunicated from the court of law, excommunicated from the synagogues of the church, but embraced by the Son of God. And the first visitors, the first ones to whom it's revealed, the shepherds. Why can't it be for you? There they stand. Heavenly joy, heavenly peace fill their hearts. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and we will rejoice in it, the shepherds can say. Never, never, never had they had a day like this in their entire lives. Their whole life, all the joy they experienced in their life, if they could pile it on one pile, boys and girls, it wouldn't compare to that 1 hour that they spent in Bethlehem's manger. Now, that's not to say that they saw all the fullness of Jesus' glory. That's reserved for heaven above. Here we see through a glass darkly, and yet they see enough to be amazed and to be humble for God's goodness provided in this Savior. Oh, dear people of God, dear believer, come along now. Walk through the open door with me. Come and see where the young child lay. Here lies the Son of God, who is over all, God blessed forever, in our human nature. Here lies the fairest of the children of men, God of God, light of life, crying in the manger. Let the shepherds be your gospel mentors this morning. Let a humble Jesus humble you. Let an exalted Jesus lift you up. Here lies the Savior who delivers you from the greatest evil of sin and makes you partakers of the supreme good of fellowship with Himself. Oh, be of good courage. Lift up your hands and hang down. Make a straight path for your feet. Here is Emmanuel, God with us. Prophet, priest, king, He meets your every need. The Redeemer who's come to Zion to remove the iniquity, every iniquity of your soul, original, actual, thought, word, deed, every iniquity, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, to restore you into blessed fellowship with a triune God forever. Come and see Him. Here lies the way, the truth, and the life. Here lies your elder brother, your Goel, your daysman, your nearest kinsman, him whose name is as ointment poured forth, the altogether lovely Jesus, whose legs are as pillars of marble, the strong one, the sympathetic one, the kind one, the gracious one, your salvation. Oh, what a sight. Unto you is born this day. How their sight and the words that came to them must have re-echoed in their mind while they stood there looking at the babe. The angelic message must have gone over and over in their mind, don't you think? Good tidings of great joy to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, the Savior, the willing Savior, the able Savior, Christ, the anointed. The Lord, the Almighty, Almighty Savior, Anointed Savior, everything you need, here He is, lying in the manger. A tender moment, an intimate meeting, a precious time for the shepherds. But we can have it today too. And in fact, we can have it even richer because we have all the New Testament gospel. We know more about Jesus than they did. We have Paul's letters, James and Peter and John, and we have the full New Testament revelation of who this Savior is. But oh, what a sacred time it is to remember, child of God, when you first found Him. How precious it was. You know, in the book of Revelation, you read of a silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And there can be, not every day, of course, but there can be such moments in this life. And by faith, we may gaze upon Jesus. And it's too holy to speak. There's too much in Him. The fountain overflows. My cup runs over. He's too wonderful to speak. It's too sacred to communicate. He is for me. That He left His throne in glory to come for me. That He came to save me. Oh, have you ever found Him? Have you ever embraced Him? Have you ever said, I'm sick of love? It's almost too good to be true. And then that incredible find impacted your life so much that you had to go out and tell others about this Savior. No, you can never quite explain to them what you experience. You can't put it into words. It's beyond words. The Word is beyond words. The Word made known to you is beyond human expression. But you stammer to make known to others. That's our forethought. They proclaim what they found. When they had seen it, verse 17 says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And now the shepherds could no longer remain silent. When they stood beside the Christ child, we don't read of one word they said, nor one word of what Joseph or Mary said. It was too sacred. What they talked about, we don't know, but we can imagine. But we don't need to imagine. It was sacred. But there comes a time when their lips are opened, when they cannot not speak, when their hearts overflow with a goodly theme. They could not speak about God's good tidings personified in the born babe of Bethlehem. They made known abroad. Don't you like that word? Abroad. Everywhere. Verse 17. Everywhere. The saying which was told them concerning this child. The miracle and the love of Christ and their salvation in Him constrained them to speak about Christ. They could say with David, I believe, therefore have I spoken. They spread the news abroad. They proclaim it in the world as best as they could. The first person they saw, and anyone who would listen to them about Jesus, they'd talk about Him. Notice, they didn't talk about themselves. They didn't talk about their own experiences. Did you notice that? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spoke with liberty and with joy to friend and to foe, to neighbor, to visitor, about the necessity, the all-sufficiency, the suitability, the willingness of this precious babe born in Bethlehem to be the Savior of sinners. They would stir everyone up to go see the child for themselves, the child in whom they found everything they need for this life and a better. They couldn't hold back. And it was all based upon words, more than on sight. If you notice this, It's interesting. In verse 15, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this word which has come to pass. Verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, that is the word which was told them concerning this child. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying God for all the things, all the words that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's word-based revelation. Word-based. As it was told unto them. Exactly. The words that came to them. It was promised to them. That's what they saw. That's what they believed. That's what they obeyed. That's what they found. And now that's what they proclaimed. You see, the beauty of the gospel is it always gives us everything it promises and more. Because it's unspeakable when we find it. The world promises you much, young people, and it gives you little. The gospel promises everything, and it gives even more than it promises. It gives everything plus. You can't underestimate. You can't overestimate, I should say, how wonderful Jesus is. How wonderful God is. How wonderful the gospel is. We saw that a week ago Sunday. His name is wonderful. Saying like the shepherd, we would say, come and worship. Come and worship. Who is he in yonder stall? Crown him. Crown him. Lord of all. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Oh, won't you come this morning and see and embrace and glorify and praise. This is what we need to do. Don't, please don't give me the yes buts. Yes, but I'm too big of a sinner. Or yes, but I'm too hard. Yes, but I can't do it. Yes, but God can do everything. And God loves to do everything. Just come to Him and fall before Him and cry out for mercy. He will receive you. He will embrace you. Seek and ye shall find. It's the word of God. It's His promise. He won't let you down. But don't delay. Do like the shepherds. Come with haste. Come now. Come this morning. Come today. Oh, that you would drop everything and come. Maybe even right now you're saying, but I got to feed my family. I got to go home. We got stuff going on the stove. And you know, there's so many things. I'll think about it after all the busyness, after the family's. No, come now. Come now while you're in church. Come as a poor sinner. Set your house in order, for you shall surely die and not live. You need Christ now. They came with haste. Now, when they went back, they returned to their flocks. They broadcast the message everywhere, but they became shepherds again. They didn't enroll in a seminary. At least we don't read that. They stayed with their jobs. You see, not everybody's called to be a minister. Not everybody's called to work directly in church work. But everyone is called to know the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. And we're called to proclaim Him in whatever occupation we are in, whether we're shepherds or homemakers or office people, or whatever we're doing, we're called to proclaim this great shepherd. But though they went back to their jobs, they were not the same men. They were happy men. Joy flooded their souls. Now, when they did their menial tasks with the sheep, they did it to the glory of God. Now, even though they were despised with the people, they knew they were accepted with God. Now they had found the Savior. And so everything they did now was as unto God and not as unto men. Everything they did was in a Christ-centered way. It was with joy, no doubt. And they were praising God, the text says. And they were glorifying God. They ended not even in the child, but through the child, they ended in the triune God. God became everything. So let me close by just saying there's three things we must do. First of all, we must go. We must go. Let us go. Seniors, you need to go. The evening time of your life is here. And you know, you see your friends dying all around you. You know you must die. You need to go before it's too late. But you, teenagers, you need to go. You need to give your life, your whole life to the Lord. Don't spend it. Don't waste it. You too, children. What a beautiful thing it is when a child seeks and finds the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. And you get converted when you're 5 years old or 7 years old or 10 years old. And you can give your whole life to the Lord. What a blessing. But you need it, parents. You can't parent rightly. You know that without the Lord Jesus. You need it in your families. You need it as awakened sinners. You need to come to Jesus. You need it as young believers. You need to grow in Him. You need it as advanced Christians. It doesn't matter who you are. The message comes to you. Let us go, even now, unto Bethlehem. Walk through the open stable doors. Go into the manger. There's no doorway to keep you out. Not like the motel room. If they'd gone into the inn, there would have been a door. You would have had to get entrance somehow. But now He was born out among the animals, and there was no doorway. You could just walk in. No obstacle in coming to Jesus. Let us go. And secondly, we must speak. We must speak. We must speak of the mystery of God incarnate for the sake of sinners. We must speak of His being born and bleeding and dying that sinners might be born again and might neither bleed nor die. We must speak of His being wrapped in swaddling clothes that we might be unwrapped of the grave clothes of our corruption. We must speak of His descending into hell that we might ascend into heaven. We must speak of the things we have seen and heard by faith, shown to us by the Holy Spirit through the preaching and the reading of God's Word. It must not hide behind our lack of education, our shyness of character, or any other inhibition. But we, like the shepherds, must speak of Christ to others, praising and glorifying God.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."